short show, but it's a Thursday. Wouldn't be the same without our view from the north. Find what he's up to. Either follow behind him on a golf course these days or check out Comcast Sportsnet online, CSNNW.com. On Twitter, the handle is Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are things?
What is up, my man?
Did I drag you off the golf course today, or you up to other things?
I went this morning.
Man, you're on a mission.
I started well, and then trained up. But then I bounced back and finished decently. So I had what was for me a decent day this spring, but horrible by other standards.
Everything's relative. Believe me, having golfed since probably for 40 years, 42 years, it's a sliding scale, the ultimate sliding scale.
Definitely.
So let's get to what Vegas said about Oregon football in a bit. But first, this is a general question. They released the starting time for some of the games, and everyone's got their own angle. You know, I do pre- and post-game. I hate anything that starts after 3:30. As somebody who's got to travel from Portland, if you had your druthers, would you have a preferred start time for Duck football games, and would it matter if it was on the road or not?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Wow.
I think there's been like maybe two of those games the last however many years.
Right.
Because you don't have to get up too early. Right?
Right.
You don't get home at a completely ridiculous hour. It's that sweet spot in the middle. I hate 7 o'clock games.
Oh.
Sitting around all day waiting to go. And then you literally don't get out of there until 1 a.m. I've gotten home at 4 a.m. before from 7 o'clock games. And I'm just like, this is not worth it. But when I get home, I go in, I put my stuff away, and I grab the one ad.
You still check the one ads?
Well, it's funny. The visual is funny if I'm actually picking up the newspaper, the one ad.
You know,
start circling it, you know?
Yeah, hey, I think the latest I've ever walked out of Autzen is 1:45 after finishing a post game. But of course, I've got a 9-minute trip. You got to buzz all the way up I-5.
Exactly.
All right. So one thing about college football, we get the way too early, and then a couple days ago, the just plain early betting odds for teams as win total. So they got the Ducks at over under 8.5. You know, the non-con has Southern Utah, Wyoming, Nebraska, no USC. You know, you and I have talked about the offense looks like it's got a lot of potential, and hopefully the defense won't be historic bad for a third straight year. So that 8.5, that sound about right?
Did it move to 8.5?
That's in the article I read. It said the over-under is 8.5.
Okay, because the initial ones I saw were 8. Maybe it's moved a little bit. But I saw them, the first article I saw was, I think, a week ago, and I think there might have been one even before that. But I loved 8 because 8 was my number coming out of last season. I had them pegged for 8 wins, no matter who the coaching staff was the following year, give or take a win. Now, I don't know which way I'd bet on the 8. If it's 8.5, I think I'd go under.
Right.
I think 8 is more likely than 9. If it's 8, I think I'd take the under and hope for a push. I think 9 might be asking too much, only because the defensive question marks still remain. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility because the offense should be good. It should be really good. You return pretty much every significant offensive weapon other than your tight ends.
Yep.
And is anyone else I'm missing? No, not really.
No. The line, the receivers, and they got Freeman back.
They lost a receiver, didn't they? Oh, Stanford. But he was hurt this season.
Right.
And you averaged like 38 points, I think, last year, and you were second in the conference in rushing. You should get, with the whole season of Herbert, you should get 40-plus points. And Taggart's points from the offense.
All right. You cracked me up. I want to get to some hoops. You posted a video of the, pardon the interruption, guys, in this Jordan versus LeBron debate, which I think is ridiculous. Yeah, I get how great LeBron is, but let's do resumes. And to me, it always comes down to, we know about Michael, 6 for 6, 6 MVPs in the finals. But I was like, yeah, and throw in the 9 first-team All-NBA defense. So I'll give you my issue your reaction. All right, if LeBron gets the 6 or 7 titles with 10 finals and then what is retired, I'll listen. But right now, it doesn't make sense. So what drives you personally the most nuts when this conversation comes up?
What drives me bonkers is the completely invented criteria people come up. For example, if LeBron beats this great Golden State team, that makes him the best because Jordan never, you know, overcame being a big underdog. Okay, so you're punishing Jordan because he was mostly always favored? He was favored because he was phenomenal. So it's like reverse logic. You can't hold it against him for being the favorite when he was the favorite because of how great he was. If anything, you hold it against LeBron, he's been the underdog so many times. The other thing is people just want to ignore the championship thing. 3-4 is not 6, and Michael could have won 7, maybe 8 had he not retired. So for his realistically, his last 6 years with the Bulls, not counting when he came back for 20 games, he won the title every year. LeBron has never come close to three-peat, like he repeated once, but he's never three-peated, let alone three-peated twice. The only thing I'll give, you know, when people say, well, he has better all-around numbers, I do think statistically he obviously has an assist and rebounds, but let's face it, both of them could do whatever they wanted to do whenever they needed to do it. LeBron, if you wanted him to score 40 a game, he could. If Jordan was asked to score, dish out 10 assists a game, he could have. If Jordan won the average triple-double game, he could have. He didn't need to. My point, my biggest point, will always be my biggest point, is who do you want with 4 minutes to go, your life on the line, Game 7, NBA Finals, all things created equal? You want Jordan, you want LeBron. We've seen LeBron fade. We've seen LeBron maybe even quit. We've never seen a Jordan fade, and we've never seen him quit.
You know what? Another thing I brought up to a buddy of mine, and he's like, I never thought of it this way. It's like sometimes the LeBron people take it as a put-down. It's like, I did the math. There have been 3,100 guys played in the NBA, so if I say LeBron is fourth best ever, it's like, that's not really a put-down, is it?
No, especially when you say second. And here's the other thing, and you'll appreciate this, and I've said this forever, too. Why do we ignore Kareem and Will Chamberlain?
Yep.
Titles, 6 MVPs for Kareem, all-time leading scorer, and Will Chamberlain 1 year averaged 50 and 25 rebounds.
And you know, being my age, I actually saw Wilt play, and it was a phenomenon. But Kareem is the one guy in all the sports, I don't care if you debate baseball, golf, hockey, it's like the MVPs, the 6 titles, not to mention the 4 others he was in with the Lakers. You know, 10 trips, all-time leading scorer, and another guy, like all-NBA first or second defense, I think 11 or 12 times.
And he won 3 college titles, and as a freshman, he beat the college championship team, the varsity at UCLA, that he couldn't play for as a freshman.
And being from New York, let me tell you something. If you take what he did at Power Memorial High in New York and his 3 years at UCLA, I think in 6 years he lost 3 games.
So let me ask you a question. If I were doing an all-time draft tomorrow, like it was all-time draft, you got the first pick, who are you taking?
Oh,
I'm taking Will Chamberlain.
Oh, you're taking Chamberlain first.
I'll only take Chamberlain over Kareem because Chamberlain was more agile. Kareem was a little bit, like, he was a little bit lateral challenged. If you took away the sky hook, he wasn't a great, like, he didn't have a bunch of moves like Olajuwon.
Right, no, that's a perfect comparison.
Whereas Chamberlain was more agile. Like, Chamberlain had the agility of a wide receiver and a 7-foot-1 body. He ran the 400 in college. He triple jumped. You know what I mean? So I would take Chamberlain if I had the number one overall pick and just dominate everybody from there.
Yeah.
The perimeter guys are a dime a dozen.
And as an add-on, having lived a couple of years in Philly, Chamberlain went to Overbrook High there, and they were like, you wouldn't even believe what a track and field star he was, just as athletic. And then at Kansas, like you said. Talking some NBA Finals with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. So I'm going to deem you the chairman of the Portland Media Division of the Jordan Legacy Protection Board.
So, oh, there you go.
So as somebody who got driven up a wall by Durant leaving the Thunder for the Warriors and obviously is protective of Jordan's legacy versus LeBron, so what's your rooting interest in this series?
Okay, so I am the king of hateration. You know, remember that song by Mary J. Blige?
Yep.
Okay, I am the king of hateration. I'm not even going to lie. I'm the all-hater guy in this finals. And you know what? When it's not your team in the finals, you have the right to hate. So last year, I really wanted Cleveland to win because the Warriors had won 73 games. I didn't want them to win the title. I was rooting for Oklahoma City. I was rooting for Cleveland. Cleveland got it done for me. So now, coming into this, I hated what Durant did so much. I've wanted all year for the Warriors to lose. I was actually going to root for Cleveland and LeBron to beat them. But with all this LeBron-Jordan stuff coming up, I can't have that. I just can't have that. So I'm going all in for the Warriors to smack down LeBron so that he would lose what? And this would be his fifth finals loss?
Yeah, he'd be 3-5.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking for right now. So let's go, Curry. Let's go.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. You didn't have to explain the hateration thing because when we talked 2 weeks ago, you said you got pissed at Michael Jackson impersonators for slapping the wrong foot.
Kicking them with the wrong foot, yeah.
That's hysterical. Couple more thoughts. I know this has been asked on a lot of the national shows, but I'm still in my data gathering process. So Kevin Durant, 28 years old, no title. LeBron has the 3, now 32. Do you see more pressure? I mean, or is it close as far as who really needs to win this series of those two?
Oh, man, I think Durant needs to win it. I think Golden State should be favored. They are a true super team. You had the best record of all time last year, and you added a top three player. That's just insane. And you just won the title the year before. You have three All-NBA guys, including a former two-time MVP, and you had Durant. Durant went there to try and get a title, and he didn't think he could beat them from the perspective of being in Oklahoma City, where you know he had a chance. LeBron has three titles. Yes, it will hurt him that he loses this one if he loses it, but he does have three already, and everyone views him as being this underdog anyway, whereas Durant's on the favorite, and he jumped ship to go there to get a title. He needs it. If he goes there and loses, it's going to really, really bad for him, so I think he has more pressure on him to win.
Yeah, that's I thought you would say that, and that's actually what I agree with. So, final thought, a couple weeks ago I asked you if you were concerned about your Cubbies, and at that time they had actually climbed a couple games over 500. Now they lost 6 in a row. Arrieta, though, better his last, 2 of his last 3. Their offense is ridiculous. I mean, Bryant's the only regular over 270. So now here on the 1st of June, what is your concern level?
Definitely concerned. I'm glad they're not in the division with a team like the Houston,
right,
or a Nationals team, or you know, even Yankees having or jumping out to big leads. They're only, I think, 2 games back or 2.5. So that's good. But yeah, no, I'm deeply concerned. They look like an average baseball team right now, and I'm not absolutely completely shocked. I mean, what they did last year was amazing and clearly historic. It's tough to live up to that. I mean, once you've done that, you know, I almost expected a fallback. Plus, they didn't address the fifth starter position. They're still experimenting, although they moved Schwarber out of the leadoff spot. I think they got Zobrist there now. But I think they're just trying to find their way again after the euphoria of last year. And I kind of expected a down year. Remember, I told you before last year, remember I said I had a 5-year window to get me one.
Yep.
I mean, it's about me. Yeah, get me one. Forget the other millions of Cubs fans. Get me one in 5 years. They got the one, so I'll even give them a pass if they have it. You know, flame out this year a little bit and then rebuild it again for next year. But they've got some holes, definitely.
Well, when you're on my show in 107 years and they're still at 1, it'll be a whole different conversation.
Probably.
All right. Catch his work, CSNNW.com, at Aaron J. Fentress on Twitter. Aaron, always fun stuff. Enjoy the finals.
I will, man. Take care.
Take it easy.